Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome
Freddie Gray, Sam Du Bois, Philando Castile, Terrence Crutcher, Aaron Sterling, Jamal Clark, Jeremy McDowell, William Chapman II, Walter Scott, Eric Harris, Tamir Rice, Akia Gurley, Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, George Floyd. Good evening and welcome to the podcast, The Attic. A Black Perspective, an urban podcast. I want you to understand how it is that we feel. I've got the crew standing by, the messenger, baby sis, baby brother, Nurse Carmen, Sister Tippy, and of course, Triple OG out of Florida. Let's podcast.
Lives matter. Every week I sound a little better because I've been in the studio working on the lyrics and getting the vocal cords and stuff right. So pretty soon, we're not even going to have the recording. It's just going to be co-producer talking about we something, something, something. Because I got to learn the words first. Hey, good evening, podcast audience. This is that
hey,
guy.
What's
up, Triple OG?
Listen, can I to start off with, please voice uneasiness with your opening. I notice you don't mention any of our sisters who are murdered by police. Can you explain why?
He did
I'm sorry,
say some female names, Daddy. Oh. He did.
Oh, well, hold on.
He did.
Oh, yeah, when we say who we had a couple of sisters named in there, didn't we?
Yeah, sure did.
Sandra Bland.
Okay, all right. But I'll check that, OG, because when we say Black Lives Matter, especially the sisters, because believe it or not, world, without the black sister, there can never be a black
no brother.
Huh?
You're right about that.
That's right. I mean, without this, watch the, without the white sister, there can be no white man. So without the sisters, we in a world of hurt. So when we talk about Lives Matter, the female version of all of this should get just a little more attention. And I appreciate that, OG, for bringing that to the forefront, man.
No, it wasn't a man. I tried to couch it in non-negative terms. I just found it strange. That's all. Other than that, it's a beautiful opening.
You know what? I'm going to talk to the engineering staff, and then they're going to talk to the music library staff. And just so you know, all that's going to be one conversation to myself, and then we're going to fix that, man.
All right.
But anyway, but hold on. Are we good, OG? Because we can't move on.
OG ain't
right.
No, we've never been in a negative voice. No, it's all good. Oh,
okay. I just wanted to make sure you was good with that. But yeah, because you know there's levels to this shit, and everybody know on every level you don't mess with the OG.
Oh, come on, man, please.
Come on, you know I'm just messing with you, brother. Well, listen, but now that you so eloquently interrupted my intro, I'm gonna get back to it. All right.
But you know, what to do.
OG, you know I'm just playing with you, my brother. But anyway, good evening and welcome to the good evening and welcome to the Monday night podcast called The Attic. As you can tell, The crew was very lively tonight. We really should be sad and in a state of mourning if you look at the manner in which society just views us as a people. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. My engineer just gave me a signal, said you never completed the opening. Hey, but good evening, everyone, and welcome to the podcast, The Attic. On Monday night, we get together and we try to give you an urban perspective of situations that you look at on a daily basis. I'm always locked and loaded, family and friends. Let's podcast. Now, we're getting back to the females, and we're getting back to the when we opened, we talked about, I talked about we should be in a state of mourning. Because let me tell you something. The more I study history, the more I understand. I only have to go back as far as yesterday to find out that we are still caught up in a vicious-ass cycle that I don't really see an opening from this 360-degree bullshit that people of color are trapped. I don't see any breaks in that circle. We look at, let's start off with what's really hot. See, let's start off with what's really hot in the hood. What's my man named Chauvin? Chauvin, whatever his name is, they are, Chauvin, they are trying, and oh my goodness gracious are they trying, to find a loophole to ease up what the justice system should do to him for killing George Floyd. That's what he did. I don't want to hear no arrest. I don't want to hear he died. No, he killed that man. And as the brothers say in Jersey, he K-I-L-T'd him. He killed them. He killed them. But the justice system, they're trying to find a way. And again, I want to watch the trial. But the more I watch it, you know, every once in a while I dip in and dip out. And every time I dip in, there's somebody knocking down some bullshit explanations that Chauvin's lawyer wants to bring up. So from my perspective, it's a slam dunk. The only question is, do you want to take him to first-degree murder or do you want to kiss it off the backboard and let him get a second or third degree? But murder got to be the end of that sentence, though. Has anybody seen anything while this trial was going on that makes you think maybe he might get off?
I spoke to my daughter earlier, and I was saying, I listened to part of the defense closing this morning, this afternoon. And for like 3 minutes there, with him going through the mess about their training, I almost felt sorry for this guy.
The cop, what guy?
Until I slapped my head upside, slapped myself upside the head and said,
okay,
wake up.
Okay, okay,
no,
good, good.
No, no, no. It only lasted 3 minutes.
Okay, okay. We good. As long as you back, OG. That's what's important. As long as you back.
That's 3 minutes too long.
Yeah, it was 3 minutes too long. But go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now, you good, OG. Finish.
Oh, no. I was listening. The part that I heard was when the defense attorney was talking about the training that police go through. And what he left out of all this was the word humanity. Not once did I hear humanity towards a fellow human being under any damn circumstance.
Because you have to, 'cause you got to understand, and I say this very carefully, because I don't want the statement to sound like I am speaking against all people not of color. There are some whose level of hatred for another race is so deep that when you say humanity, that's a word they'll never use, because to them, humanity only applies to human beings. And trust me and believe me when I tell you, there are some that dislike people of color so much that they convince themselves that we're not human.
I agree with that.
So yeah, so once you convince yourself that the people you oppose, the race you oppose, regardless of what race it is, once you convince yourself that they're not human, then anything that comes after that is easy for you, because you're not ever looking at it as though I'm harming another human being. Does that make sense?
Sure it does. They did it to the Jews over there in Germany.
They did it to everybody. Think about it. White America, white America, if you look at the path in which they traveled, you can't find anywhere, and I'm talking about you look with a microscope if you want to. You go down to the Space Center and borrow the Hubble if you want to. You won't find anywhere where that race of people have gone, and there's not been, like, mass destruction of whoever was there before they got there, all throughout history. So all I'm saying is that becomes – and again, I know I'm going way back in the day, but what happened way – if we don't understand our history, we're going to be doomed to repeat it.
True that.
And let me just – I'm going to transition right over back to this George Floyd. I watched that case, and I understand – well, first of all, let me say this. Do you know what watching that case reminds me of? This is the Caucasian version of the OJ trial. For the OJ trial, OJ was on trial trying to get off. So, again, it was still a black and white issue. Don't you fool yourself. And now we have the same thing now. But this time, the police is on trial. But they broadcast this. Again, the coverage, I'm talking about the manner in which this is covered, reminds me of back in the day watching OJ. In fact, when the court proceedings are going on, I keep waiting for them to flash away to see that Bronco driving down the street. They haven't done that yet. But I do. That's what I feel like. But if they don't and excuse me, I'm kind of getting a little scatterbrained because I'm real adamant about the manner in which people of color are being treated in this nation. But let me say this to the nation, and I said this also for the Rodney King issue. If America don't get it together and start sending the rotten, corrupt police officers to jail, there is no end in sight for this. And it saddens my heart, because the end to stop this is so damn easy. You get caught killing anybody, Mr. Police Officer, your ass is going to jail. You're not going home. You're not kissing the babies goodbye. You're going straight to jail, and that's where you're going to stay. And when you send that message, and listen to what I said, the crooked cop, the cop who just kills because you oppose his color, that's the cop I'm talking about. And let me tell you something. When you are a police officer, there's going to be times where you are caught in fire or caught in a situation where you're going to have to put somebody down. I'm not talking about every cop that has to do that, but if you get caught putting somebody down who had no weapon, or it was clear you should have used physical restraints to hold them instead of shooting them, then yeah, your ass go to jail. And when you go to jail, nah, you don't get no solitary. Nah, your ass go right to Gen Pop, yo. That's where you go. And you let them give you the welcome party. Yeah, you let them give you the welcome party that you deserve. And I want to say this to you, and I don't want to see anybody have their life lost, but if you send enough crooked, and I keep saying crooked, police officers jail, their letters from jail will tell other cops, you don't want no part of this, man. So
what they have to start doing is they have to start taking their pensions.
Well, you know what?
You have to hit them in their pocket. You have to hit them financially in their pockets.
I say
because
more.
If they know that if they go out and do those kind of heinous crimes and stuff like that, that they're going to risk losing their pensions, stuff like that, they'll think twice. Or the other cops around them will also think twice before they stand around and watch it
and not do anything to
stop it.
Let me tell you something. And again, we're just talking conspiracy here. You got to do more than money, because if I am a crooked police officer, and harming people who don't look like me is what I want to do, then listen to me very carefully. I'm going to extort enough money so that I can do what I want to do and still have my pension.
Well, just to chime in real quickly, there was a female officer that was, I think, in this shooting here.
With the taser?
With the taser, yeah. She resigned so that she could get her pension. She resigned
before
they questioned
her. That's what I'm talking
about.
You got
to
start taking
the pension.
Exactly. Exactly. You got to start taking those pensions away.
But you know what, though? And that's an excellent point, Messenger, because I swear, right up until you said that, I swear to God, I thought guilt hit her and she felt bad about what she did. But she only did that. See, now watch this. That now, and we're going to talk about her in a second. I'm sorry. That just changed my whole goddamn view on that woman. That just changed my whole view on her. But we're going to get to that in 1 minute. But let me finish off with George Floyd. You send Chauvin's ass to jail. And again, now, when you want to find the, how we say, the raisin in the sun or the silver lining in the dark cloud, when he go to jail and the people in jail finish showing him the love and companionship that crooked police officers get when they go to jail, if you want to find the silver lining in the cloud, in the dark cloud, now you can start looking at prison reforms. Because after the shit he tells you that happened to him, that's going to happen to him, well, see, then you can start doing prison reforms. Because he going to get it, yo. He going to get it. And again, I don't wish that on nobody. And when I say he going to get it, he not going to get it like he gave it to George Floyd. I mean, he going to get it like that. I mean, he going to get it in so many other ways that he might wish that was an option for him. But anyway.
But when you're saying crooked, a lot of them are not, you know, crooked to where they're on the take or anything like that. Some of them are just plain racist.
That makes you crooked. If you are a racist.
So then by that, if you're taking away, again, hitting them financially, because, again, a lot of them are not on the take to where they have their hands tied up in other monies. All they have to live for is their pension. When they start realizing that they could lose that, they will think twice about doing a lot of the stuff that they're doing. And the ones standing around watching will also think twice because they're not going to allow you to have them lose their pension.
See, I disagree on that.
That's what they got the union.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's going to take not just that. It's going to have to be
if you put that with something else,
That can't be the end-all, be-all, not by any means. But you do have to make that one of the things. Absolutely,
yes.
You do.
Okay.
Because speaking of this cop that just, the one, this incident that just happened, she was going to resign, get her pension, and she had the option to later go work somewhere else and get another pension. So she could have drew two pensions.
I think she going to jail, y'all.
Let's get right into
that story real quick. First of all.
And you forfeit.
Yes. That's what I think is going to happen to her.
They're going to get the white jury on that. She's going to get off on that.
She in jail right now.
She ain't in jail for good, though.
Is she on administrative leave?
She resigned.
She resigned.
Oh, okay.
But see, I thought she resigned because, oh, my God, such an awful, tragic mistake I've made. How am I going to live with myself? See, I thought that's why she resigned. But if she resigned because she knew she killed somebody and now all she's doing is protecting her money, that means I know what I did and now I'm just trying to protect it.
No, not her.
Of course. Because if you go back and listen to that tape, she said this shit just as calm.
Her and her chief
resigned. I shot him. She said this shit real calm.
Huh?
So she called out taser, like three times.
Okay.
So to me.
Now, let me say this to you, okay? I'm sorry. Right up until I found out that little trick resigned to maintain her pension, See, my whole thing changed. But right up until that, here's what I thought. She pulled out her taser. She meant to get her taser. She got her gun. Taser, taser, taser. And then, oh, my God, I shot him. That made me think that it was an accident. Or, excuse me.
Hello.
I said, like my man say, accidental-ish. You know what I'm saying? Not so much intentional. But now that you realize you just took somebody's life, now you're starting to cover up or protect what you have. Again, that's not the actions of an accidental person. You meant to do this shit. You got caught. So now you're just trying to save as much as you could possibly save.
Absolutely
so,
right.
I mean, because she's been on the force for 26 years?
20 years.
Correct?
Yes. She's been there long enough to know.
She's an instructor.
Absolutely.
The difference between the... between the taser and the gun.
She was an instructor?
An instructor.
So if she was an instructor and those are her actions, can we not say kind of reasonably that she trained a whole bunch of other people to do that same silly-ass shit?
And she gave
them and watch this. Yeah, here's the training, y'all. Whenever you take your gun or your taser out, you just scream, taser, 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 just in case. Now, that could happen as a part of a training scenario. You know, because...
Supposedly your gun, isn't your gun on your dominant side?
Your gun is on the trigger finger, the side where you
on
squeeze
your
it.
You wear it on your dominant side.
The dominant side. And your taser is non-dominant. And if you look at... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And this is... I mean, ooh, this mother... But anyway, this is what makes me so pissed off with her. She wasn't even one of the police officers engaged with the driver or the passenger. You in the back observing, and that freaked you out? You don't have your hands on nobody, and that freaked you out, really? And you a fucking instructor? Oh, kiss my ass.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Again, whatever
exactly.
little sympathy I have for her is gone, and I think that she should be tried for murder and sent right to the goddamn jail. And with the not without the possibility of parole, that's what I think.
I mean, because a taser looks nothing like a gun, the weight difference on both is different, and you carry your gun on your dominant side. You're a veteran on the force, and you're a trainer. So, I mean, when you add all of those things up, there is no reason why you should have pulled a taser. A gun thinking it was a taser. That should have never happened.
And let me tell you also, if you look at the taser and if you look at the pistol, for your little elementary-ass mind to confuse those two grips, show me you should have never been a damn police officer in the first place. If you can't discern between the grip of a pistol and the grip on a taser. Now, let me tell you something. When I was active duty, how Bernie Mac say, long time ago, I could tell the difference between, I'm serious, I could tell the difference if my 45, that's how far back we going, had a magazine in it with rounds or without rounds. And on a good day, when I was at the top of my game, I could probably tell you from the weight of that pistol in my hand how many rounds were in that mag. Now, don't get me wrong. We used to sit around and do silly shit like that, so we practiced that. But the fact of the matter is, you being a police officer all that time, the number of times you had to take that holster off, put it on, maybe you never really had to draw down on anybody. But I'm not buying for a fucking second you didn't know you had that 9mm in your hand or that 40, whatever they told in Minnesota.
It's just the weight.
So when
weight
she was
difference.
Pointing.
There's no question about
so,
it. There's a weight difference.
When
major
she was pointing difference. The taser at him, she didn't look at the gun. You know what I'm saying? Her eyes was where? If you're looking in front of you and you got the taser in your hand, you should see what you're holding in your hand.
Exactly.
You have
you
to see what you're shooting at.
Taser three times.
Yeah, that don't mean it's a taser.
Well, watch this. I yelled out taser three times. Watch this.
She yelled out taser. You should have seen what you had
no,
in your hand.
Yeah,
no, was not a taser.
That, after she did that, she did her Urkel shit. Then I ain't do that.
My man over there, my man over there, And she's like, you're right, did I do that? That was just crazy, man. But I don't know. Again, I just she should be sent to jail because you got to I think this. Fuck your accident. You are a police officer. You're not allowed to have that accident. Your job is to protect and serve, and you are trained to be able to discern over some simple shit like a taser and a handgun. Because let me tell you something. Watch this. And you can bet your sweet ass on this. If for whatever reason they pull out the privilege card, because that's the only thing that's going to save our ass right now. If they pull out the privilege card, watch how many folks about to get killed because somebody thought they had a taser. You watch this. That's all this is going to do.
The same situation happened already. It was a black cop with a white woman, and he used a gun by mistake instead of his taser. And he was found guilty, period.
Really?
Period.
So we have case studies. We have case studies.
Yes.
So wait a minute.
This situation already happened.
So we are in America, land of the free, home of the brave. So then it's only right that whatever penalty they gave the black police officer, that they're going to give this white female police officer. I don't even know why we're talking about this. This is America.
No,
we know they're going to do the right thing.
That doesn't go down like that. That doesn't go down like that.
What do you mean, man? Hey, what do you mean, guy? What do you mean it's not going down like
that? Different rules. Different rules.
Oh, gosh darn it. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm saying, I'm being facetious and trying to be comical with it, but I would not, I would bet whatever penalty they gave that black police officer, I don't give a damn. How much you want to bet, I'll take that bet. This lady ain't getting that. She might get something, but she ain't getting what he got. So I'm going to have to research that now to see what he got and find out who he was, and then we can kind of know what's about to happen to this lady.
Because normally when you do something, when you're the first to do something, you tend to get off, and then everybody that come after you, they get in trouble.
Yeah.
Huh?
Not if you black and you're the first one to do it.
Oh, no. You know, Monopoly. Your ass pass, go right to jail.
Right to jail. Right here, right? But, again, another chance.
Yeah, it happened in 2017.
Oh, you got the officer's name? I mean, do you have,
here.
Now I don't want to know his name. Do you have the penalty that he got?
Sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison. An ex-Minneapolis officer. Sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison.
His name was John McClane.
Ever since Prince left, Twin Cities been going crazy as fuck, man. It's just funny that, I'm just saying, maybe Prince was holding that shit together out there.
No.
But it's just funny that all this racial shit is happening. A lot of the focus goes to Minneapolis, man.
Yeah, he was found guilty of third degree murder, manslaughter.
Now watch this. All I'm gonna say is this right here, because I'm gonna remain consistent, bro. You fucked up too. I say the same thing to you that I say about this lady here. I don't want to hear that shit that you pulled your taser. Now again, you probably had some extra stress on your ass. I'm not gonna deny that. But no, you were trained also. So if third degree murder is what happens when police officers mistakenly take their taser, their sidearm, the service pistol out and shoot you thinking it's a taser, then let's make sure everybody gets third degree murder. That's all the fuck I'm saying, and that's all people of color have been saying forever. Treat this dude to shit fairly, man.
And the family got paid $20 million for her death. It says Minneapolis agrees to pay $20 million in death of this woman that died, that got shot by that officer. They agreed to pay $20 million.
Texas motherfucking Minneapolis's police budget. They will pay some millions, won't they? So they probably sit down at the beginning of the year when they have their fiscal meeting and they say, look, all right, we're going to need about 100 mil because we're going to kill some motherfuckers. All right, we're going to kill some motherfuckers. So we need 100 mil. Let's get that out the way, and then we can go ahead with the rest of this meeting. Because they will pay your ass in a minute, man. And that's because they still under that old sick mentality. I'll kill you, give your family a couple mil, and we're going to be all right.
Yeah, apparently, it was a shooting in an alley. She had called 911 to report a possible sexual assault in the area, and I guess this cop showed up. And I don't really know that doesn't go into any more.
No,
than
that's
that.
The one where the cops were sitting in their car, and she walked up to the car, and the cop shot her.
I'm just reading.
It was
what
in
it
the alleyway or something like that.
Right, but I'm just saying
and she walked up.
It's reporting here.
No, I'm saying that's the cop. He went to jail, too. Then they paid
but
her family off.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so Minneapolis said, damn it, we'll pay you. We'll pay you. We're going to keep killing you, and we're going to keep paying you, man. So let me see now. We talk about how George, watch this. We talked about how George Floyd is not about to get, I don't think he's about to get respect or due process, for a better word. You got this female cop who killed another person, thinking she had her taser. I don't know, America. I don't know what the fuck you want, what you want. You want to keep supporting this bullshit, but then you don't want to understand why you're going to have civil unrest. People are just getting tired of your bullshit, America. And it's so funny because the people who are not subjected to your bullshit are one of the main groups getting tired of your bullshit. That's what makes this a revolution. That's what I see. I don't see this being black and white. I just see this being people understanding that people are crazy and they are counterproductive to other people, and people are organizing in an effort to bring this shit to a halt. And it's going to get bad, but it's going to stop, though. It's going to stop. And it's funny because you would think 2021, my man is gone, Trump's are gone, Biden, Harris, and But we're not going political, but I want to say this. Them two plates so goddamn full right now. They going to get to it. But they got so much shit on their plate they're trying to fix right now that I understand the lag. I really do. I'm sorry. Everything just can't fucking be fixed at once. But I just think that some of the other shit, including infrastructure, now let that shit wait for a minute. And let's work on ethnic structure. That's how important this shit should be to the nation. Because I know coming behind, old boy, that them two, I know they got their hands full of trying to look at shit and correct shit. Fire people, hire people. I mean, I understand that. But I think somebody, Vice President Harris, I don't know who, Vice President Harris, but somebody need to let the president know, wait a minute, we got to hold off on a bunch of shit, and we got to put this on the table. What you think? You think it should get that kind of priority?
It sounds good.
You don't think it can happen?
It won't happen here, now, not in the time span you want.
And you know what's fucked up, man? I know what ain't going to happen. That was a real creative thought, but you're right. And it's sad because I accept the fact that America understands that it's really not that big a priority to the nation right now. So We'll get back to race relations and ethnic culture. We'll get to that later. We're going to get to it, but just not right now.
How long has this been going on?
You said how long?
Yeah.
Yes.
Shit. Since there was time.
Exactly. They don't give a shit, man. Simple and plain.
But at some point, we know that, but at some point, somebody got to come along that give a shit, man. And I'm hoping
you can give a shit, but they ain't doing nothing. They ain't changing nothing.
They killed him. They killed him. They assassinated him. You come along and run up. You want to upset that apple?
I'm talking about our government as a whole. They come along.
No.
But not,
well, we know that, but I'm just saying, I'm hoping now that we have Biden-Harris in office. I'm hoping for a little bit of a push. I'm hoping for a push for black people from Vice President Harris. No disrespect. That we couldn't get from Barack.
So what you're saying, she got the balls that Barack didn't have?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm not going to let you get away with that one. Barack did what he could do given the circumstances. You got me?
Yes, he did.
He was one black man with a goddamn Congress of white men.
Okay. And listen, but first of all, there's probably no bigger fan of Barack Obama than co-producer. Let me make that perfectly clear. Barack understood the game. And I still say to this day, that man is so intelligent. The shit he did to protect, preserve things for people of color, probably we will never know, but we'll always appreciate, if that makes any sense.
Makes a hell of a lot of sense.
But I give him that. But he didn't have them Donald Trump balls. He didn't have them, let me just throw caution to the wind because, okay, I've done so much good. Let me just step in and get this shit done right here. They're going to be mad at me, but I'm going to come back and do some more of that Barack Obama shit, and they're going to be all right. See, he didn't have that. He didn't have that.
But look
that go for
look
the
what doing. Look what they're doing just for the fact that he was there.
And I'm grateful that he was there. And again, what he showed America was, this is how it could be if you level the playing stage. They're not going to see that for a while again from our black politicians. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe Vice President, when she becomes President Harris, she going to do the shit. But she going to have a little bit more to her. Is what I think. I don't say she's going to be better than Barack, but I think that the shit she's going to attack going to be things that Barack understood politically. I can't do it like that, so I got to go do something else. I don't think that Vice President, soon to be President Harris, and watch this, and I'm talking about after Biden's 8 years. So I ain't talking, after Biden's 8 years, all right?
But you got
to
remember,
need
the health and the Senate. You still need the House and the Senate.
And I think that we're going to have that for a while. I do. We're going to take the House. We got the Senate. We're going to take the House. And I think that the nation is going to let that happen.
Yeah,
I really do.
Remember when the numbers are not in our favor.
What numbers?
The Senate is 50-50 with the Vice President.
So that's us.
The House
good.
Of Representatives, we just lost a man when the brother just died last week from down here.
Okay? All right, okay. Yeah.
So 4 seat became, it's now 3 seats with a Republican governor who will pick his replacement. And you can go to the bank, he'll pick a Republican.
No, sure
so
he is.
All right.
So now
okay.
the numbers are smaller. There are certain games you can play depending upon the numbers. It's a numbers game. And you have
well, if it's a number game, look, I'm going to put a quarter on 607.
You know, if we had a 10-seat majority in the Senate and a 40-seat majority in the House, I can understand your frustration. I really could. But not under the present circumstances. There's a dancing game you have to play.
Watch this.
Oh,
watch this. I'm going to say this, and I got to qualify what I'm about to say. If it's one thing my man who just left office showed us, you could get shit done. Now, he wanted some silly shit done. Don't get me wrong. I don't agree with half, with 90% of shit he wanted done. But he showed you could get it done.
Yeah, when you right. got the Senate behind you.
We got
absolutely
the Senate.
Right.
We got the Senate.
He had the Senate at that time.
We have the Senate now.
No, we did that, yes. But then that guy from West Virginia, Munchin, he's a little bit flaky. You don't know what the hell he's
yeah,
going.
he flip-flops.
Yeah. So
you make sure his daughter goes to a better college. He will stay with us.
And you got some shaky Democrats, too. Two or three shaky Democrats, too.
Absolutely.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I know something has to happen because I do. I think that I think we're like sitting on a powder keg.
Wasn't they supposed to be voting? What's her name? Susan, whatever.
Right.
Wasn't they supposed to be voting out? And she pulled some old sneaky shit, and they got her back in there. And she turned right back around and still was going with Trump shit.
Who, Rice?
No, that's the from Bush, Condoleezza Rice. What's her name? Susan something from, where's
Collins?
She from? Is it Maine?
Is it Collins?
Collins, I think it is, yeah. Because she voted Kavanaugh. They was acting like they wasn't going to vote them in, you know, give them a vote of approval, and they did.
Oh. Well, I mean, you know, spineless people, again, when you become a politician and you're not doing it for the good of the people, then anything can be expected of you. And trust me, politicians are for the people their first term. As soon as they understand how to create those super PACs, then they're all for their fucking self, man, all of them. There's no way in hell. And I hate to make this a political shit. There's no way in hell you should be a millionaire as a lifetime politician. Fuck that. I'm sorry. That's not right.
Need term limits.
Of course. Of course.
That would be, that. You know what?
May just save this country. May just save it. Term limits. May just save it. I mean, they did it for the president. I don't understand why it couldn't be done for all
elected. That's the game right there. You hire a manager. It ain't so much about being the president. Yeah. You get all the fanfare, but that's where the money at, being in the Congress.
Absolutely.
And listen to this. You're going to ask the Congress to vote on term limits?
Oh,
think
no,
that
ain't happening. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to be assholes to vote that they only stay for a little bit of time. When you become a congressman, to you, that's your retirement job. That's where you will be forever.
True.
So to ask them to vote on term limits would be like, I'm going to take the first part of a quote I liked on Facebook. That would be asking Congress to vote on term limits would be like asking black people to like police officers. This shit ain't happening, man. Hey, wait a minute.
Of course it is.
When we grew up, do anybody remember ever like looking at police officers as helpers at any point growing up?
I always say that when I was growing up, a police officer was my best friend. He was on the corner when I crossed the street to go to school. He took us to Coney Island once a year. PAL
really?
Took me to the World's Fair in 1940. That was our best friend. I don't know what the hell happened.
Wow. All right, because, I mean, growing up, whenever we saw police officers, we always thought, I mean, again, you straightened up. It wasn't out of respect. It was always out of some shenanigans. I don't know. That's kind of like my – now, don't get me wrong. I've got a bunch of police officer friends. So, again, I'm definitely not against the Brothers in Blue, but it seems like in certain neighborhoods, we grew up to understand that they weren't our friends and don't expect anything from them except for a hard time. That seemed to be the latent function taught to people that, where I grew up.
I didn't live in that neighborhood, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. If there was situations going on. You was up in the suburbs, OG. He said, "Nah, we ain't even gonna go there right now." But, but you know, again, growing up, that was kind of like how we understood police officers. And at such an early age, where did we get that from? Because that's how they treated our parents, and through our parents' actions, without ever saying to us directly, "Be afraid of the police officer." That's what we picked up.
Well, not so much that. Wasn't they teaching you that in school? The cop is your friend?
Well, they tried to teach that.
Yep.
But then, I mean, I don't know. I never, that message. Now, and then again, when I was younger, I was, I didn't know, wait a minute. I went to church on Sundays and Bible studies on Fridays. And the rest of the time, the rest of the week, I was doing shit that made it necessary for me to go to Bible study in church. So I didn't grow up understanding police officers to be friendly at all.
That was your fault. I'm not going to say what a lot of people's experience was with the police in your neighborhood.
Huh?
That's a lot of people's experience was what the cops were doing in your neighborhood.
Precisely.
Well,
precisely.
Okay.
I can understand your view of policemen in today's world. I really can. But I didn't experience that until I was in my 20s.
Well, some of them could be some of the most diabolical as bastards that you could ever see.
You're right.
Yeah, but the first 20 years of my life, I didn't know that.
And some people are that in general, whether a cop or not. Some people are like that.
See, and you're right. And those are the people that don't need to be police officers.
Right.
Once again, if you treat a dog to bite people or be mean, you know what I'm saying? You can't blame that dog for doing what you taught it to do.
What they've been taught.
You know what I'm saying? That's where the anger of people of color come in from, with them growing up hearing their parents talk about it or their father.
Yeah.
And that gave them an idea of how people, you know, they never interacted with people of color, but that kind of gave them an idea of what people of color were like. They never got to know you, because they already thought they knew you.
Parents teach their children that. Nobody.
Well, you know what? I'm going to bring the podcast to a close with the story. And let me say this to you also, to the podcast audience. If you are interested in some rich black culture, I definitely would recommend you contribute to the group Push Black. They bring you some stories about black culture that you're not going to see anywhere else. And we're going to close the podcast today with one of their stories. I told the editor of this page that I would do this. We're going to talk tonight about a man named John Fred Brown. John Fred Brown, he was ripped from his family, and as abusive slave master, he had an abusive slave master. Now, again, just the fact that you were a slave master kind of makes you abusive, but the shit that they did to this man, the experiments, they burned him. They just fucked with him on so many different levels. Just imagine this. He was born into slavery, and I believe he died as a slave. He was whipped constantly just because. He would, to the slave owners, he kept trying to escape. So that's not a just because issue there. But he kept trying to escape. They would find him, and they'd whip him again. Again, we're talking about John Fred Brown. But through all of this, he'd run again. They find him, he'd run again. Slave catchers, it was like sport. But he had to get out of America, and he wanted to escape to England. Not only did he finally gain freedom, but he later dictated an important memoir about his life that exposed the true horrors of America enslavement. Now, needless to say, he just told us some shit they knew already. But think about that. And see, it's stories like John Fred Brown that scares the hell out of those who try to oppress us. He was born a slave. They beat him when there was nothing else to do. He tried to escape. They tried to beat the life out of this man. He finally escapes to England. And listen, through all that slavery, through all that beating, all them beatings, he penned a memoir. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying here. You a slave, all you know is ass whippings. But when you got the opportunity, you wrote a book. Do you see the power that's translating what I'm saying? Can you see that? And to those who try to oppress you, they got to be like, well, goddamn, dog. We beat this man. We beat him some more. And he wrote a fucking book.
That's fun to them. That's fun to them. It's a game because they want to break him. They ain't trying to kill him because that's too easy to kill him. We're going to break him.
But it didn't happen, though. And my thing is, not only didn't it happen, but he rose from that to do something that's a part of history. Back then, slaves wasn't writing, but I'd like to know how the fuck he learned how to do that, though, personally. From a baby to the time you escaped to England, all you knew was 20-hour work days and ass whoopings. Through all of that, you had time to learn how to write? That's awesome. That's powerful. That's the shit that nobody wants you
nobody
to know
wants you.
Because if you understand that's your genealogy, then nothing stops you. Nothing stops you.
We're very we're resourceful people.
Yes, we are.
Yep.
But that's no reason to be afraid of us, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not at
that's
all.
No,
not at all.
Yeah, that's no reason to be afraid because we are resourceful. But it is, and it's always going to be for a little longer, y'all. But America's got the opportunity to set some of this shit straight if they so choose to.
Can I say they're not scared? They're intimidated. They're intimidated. That intimidates them.
That's worse than fear.
Once again, when Barack Obama became president, some white people were expecting black people, Barack Obama, to give black people the privilege to do to white people what white people have been doing to black people.
And you know what? We don't want that fucking privilege. You don't never hear no goddamn black movement saying, we want to enslave somebody. That's not what our fight is about. No, I don't want authority to treat somebody fucked up like you treated me and my family. All we want is equality. Let's put this shit on one level, man.
But when Donald Trump came along and started talking that shit, you see how they rhetoric changed towards black people. They started talking like, you don't belong here.
Well, again, as the head goes, so goes the body.
Mm.
Hey, real quick, before we close, the general conversation. General conversation. General conversation. If you are having there's a black man and a white man having a conversation, just for the sake of conversation, and the black man is speaking eloquently, and the white man looks at the black man with all respect and says, how do you spell that? What's your reaction?
I would spell it for him.
Okay, anybody else? Baby Silver.
That was spacing. What was the question?
If you and a white man have a conversation, he look over you and ask you to spell a word that you use in a conversation. How do you receive that?
Like, he actually called me stupid.
One could look at it that way. Why would you?
Yeah, not necessarily. It all depends on the content of how the conversation was flowing.
Absolutely.
Where he asked you to spell that.
Oh, if he didn't know what the word meant or whatever, then that's different. But sometimes, you know, when you be arguing and somebody throw a word at you and they come back and you don't even know how to spell it.
You're
speaking
now,
on something you have no knowledge about.
That's
one way to look at it, if that's how it happened.
Exactly.
Right, precisely.
You just said have a conversation. You didn't say it was a heated conversation.
Exactly.
No,
just
a conversation.
Right.
No, it ain't got to be heated. Now, again, let me
tell you
what brought this up.
Stupid and spell the word that you just said. That's heated.
Well, now my thing is my thing is this. I'm just accustomed that when you have a conversation and people ask you to spell words, again, it doesn't matter. It's more bruising if it's from a white person coming towards a black person, because for years it's always been, you think I'm stupid and I don't know what I'm talking about. You never asked, did I use the word in the right context?
That's so negative.
And then there's that. I can see that's another way of looking at it. That's another. I mean, I can see where one might feel that way.
That's all I'm saying.
The tone that the person says it will indicate how they mean it. The tone.
Right. Yeah, the tone definitely dictates, you know, as far as how the conversation is going.
Exactly.
When was the last time anybody had a conversation, and in the middle of that conversation, you asked somebody to spell a word for you?
That's the question.
That's how you shut that down.
All right. My only thing is, when we talking, I think I've always thought it was just rude. And for the most part, now nothing's absolute. That we're talking, you ask me how to spell it. Watch this. You ask me how to spell a word, but you don't write it down. So I tell you how to spell it for what? Are you gonna look it up later? What's the point here now?
Well, some people have that mindset that just spell a word, they'll remember it. Tell me a number, I'll remember it. Some people have that mindset. Some people have that ability to do that. I don't have to write it down because you spelled it for me.
Okay. It was just a question put out to the audience. And again, we all feel
differently.
Go look
that shit up in the dictionary.
But listen.
That's what I used to tell us. But if you don't know how to spell it, how can you look it up?
Sound it out.
Hey, listen,
this is Cole
from the podcast, The Attic. And thank you for hanging out with us as we discuss what we discuss. And again, different points of views are always welcome on this podcast. So, co-producer, I'm about to sign off. Let's say good night, crew.
Good night, crew.
Peace.
Good night, John Boy. Yeah, we're crew, man. What's up? Everybody in here over, everybody in here over 50, but we're a crew.
We the OG crew, then. Damn.
We the OG rappers, man. Well, our name of, the name of our rap group be rap. Our first song will be Rapping with Wheelchairs. Rapping in Wheelchairs.
I beg your pardon.
How's it going, Cass? Talk to y'all later.
I'm not. Speak for yourself.
A couple of us.
I'm not.